I am sitting on a bale of hay, which is kind of fashioned into a seat in the middle of a conference centre in the middle of the Oxfordshire countryside right now. Get me? And I'm sitting next to Matt King. The conference is a Facebook-led conference, and Matt is, what would you call yourself? You're an engineer, an accessibility engineer.
I'm an accessibility specialist in user interface engineering on the Facebook accessibility team.
So it's really great to have you, to be able to talk to you. And I could sit here and I could geek out in a blind way because, you know, we all know all blind people are super geeky about things. But I'll try to resist not to do that. You are one of the people in the team who, a lot of visually impaired people listening to this, they may have come across your work, which is a very interesting thing on Facebook, where images are brought to life using a bit of artificial intelligence so that visually impaired people can understand what the pictures are. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the problem is that, you know, there's 2 billion photos uploaded to Facebook products and shared across Facebook products every single day. And it's pretty difficult to make that amount of visual content accessible.
So you've helped bring this product to fruition, which where a bit of artificial intelligence looks at the photo and can feed back to visually impaired people things like, you know, 2 people in this photo, 1 person smiling. Is that right? Am I going too far? Playing tennis, that kind of thing?
At this point, we are recognizing a couple hundred concepts, and a concept can be a place or setting, like indoors, outdoors, nature, or it can be an object, like table, ball, person, etc. And then we can also recognize some attributes of people. At this particular time, is not very many. Smiling, we will recognize smiles, and a few other things that are, you know, common with faces, like sunglasses or hat. Things like sitting, standing, walking, activities. Those concepts are on their way, but we haven't yet shipped a version that includes those yet. So
I don't even ask how you can get a bit of software to look at a photo and tell whether somebody is standing up or sitting down.
That's the artificial intelligence gurus can explain this better than me, because I'm an accessibility guru, but not an AI. I've learned about AI from them and by working with them, and you know, asking the questions of, you know, can we do this? Can we do that? You know, any particular object looks different depending on the perspective of the photo, right? So, you know, a table from above looks different from the side, looks different from, and then how many different kinds of tables are there in the world, right?
One thing we haven't established so far is that you are blind. You've been blind for, was it about 30 years now?
Yeah, since my college years.
And as well as working at Facebook, you're one of these high achievers who has. You're also a Paralympian.
Yes.
Can you?
I raced tandem.
He says nonchalantly.
Yeah. I guess it was a while ago, but I raced in the Atlanta, Sydney, and Athens Paralympic Games, and I tried out for the team going to Beijing, but I didn't make it that time. Let's see, 1985 is when I first started using a white cane. That was a really strange experience. I went to college as a freshman. I most certainly needed a white cane, but I didn't have one. I could get around in the daytime pretty well, but at night it was a disaster. And in the hallways of most of those old buildings at the University of Notre Dame where I was, where, you know, there were many dark hallways and I ran into many people. But still, it was this really odd experience when I came back to school in the fall as a sophomore and I had my cane for the first time, and there were so many people. What happened? You know, they were.
What did you tell them happened?
I don't know. I don't remember. I was probably a bit of a smart aleck.
And now, I mean, via IBM and other places, I think you you now work for Facebook and you work with accessibility there, which is, I'm just interested to know, do you feel the responsibility of that? Do you feel that there's like loads of disabled people around the world, you know, pegging all their hopes on you and what they can achieve? Because social media has become almost like a second layer of the internet, almost like a second coming of the internet. Everybody uses it. It's a terribly important thing now, isn't it?
It really is. And I look at that both as a responsibility and an opportunity. So, yes, it's difficult at times when you know that not everything is perfect, and it's very easy, you know, when there are, you know, millions of users of your, well, in the case of Facebook, you know, 1.5 billion users of the product, but, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions who depend on various accessibility features within the product, and things aren't always perfect, and so it's pretty easy to be a target. And I, I can feel the weight of that at times. But on the other hand, to me, it's one of the most exciting opportunities, because now I'm finally working on something where the impact of what I do is immediately obvious to me, and the opportunity to have a tremendous impact, enabling people to do things they weren't able to do before, and when we do get it right, them feeling, you know, included in their communities, and, you know, having the ability to freely communicate and get as much enjoyment from the product as anybody else is the goal. That's what we want. And when that happens, it's very rewarding.
We hear lots of amazing things about the culture of these great tech companies and their campuses out in California. I wonder what you can tell us about working at Facebook headquarters. Especially as a blind person.
Yeah.
Throw that in as a bonus.
Sure. I don't know what mythical ideas people have in their heads, but probably a lot of them are true. it really is amazing. I sometimes just cannot believe how lucky I am. Like, I feel so privileged, honored, grateful to be part of these teams of people that are just brilliant beyond imagination in these environments where you essentially want for nothing.
What do you mean by that? What do you want for nothing? Is there food on tap? I'm imagining it's really healthy and that you can just zip off to the gym whenever you want and take on 5 different projects which are nothing to do with your main daily work. is this the kind of thing that we're talking about? Because it sounds amazing if so.
Yeah, yes, a lot of that is true. You can, food and drink, don't want for any of that. I mean, there's laundry service.
What do you have for lunch at Facebook? What do you have for lunch at Facebook?
I
like the details.
The details. My favorite restaurant on campus. So all of these are free. Not free as in they're free is the wrong word. They're one of the benefits or privileges of being on campus, in that you can walk into it and there's no cashier.
Whoa.
People will technically call that free.
Whoa.
But,
it's like Star Trek.
Yeah.
No money.
I really love this place called Harvest, where I can get a salad with all the veggies, and then they toss the dressing for you, and then you go over to the carving station, and you can get tri-tip or chicken or turkey and stuff. And then there's
tell me what else is in the salad.
All the nuts.
Nuts.
I personally really, I enjoy spinach, kale, arugula, and, all varieties of vegetables. And, in the summertime, I just love getting it with lots of berries, blueberries, raspberries in particular.
Do you have fridges full of drink near your desk?
Yes, fridges full of drink. Yes, I strain myself. I have to walk probably 10 meters. And then there's, I'm it's horrible because in my previous desk location, there was an array of like 7 big refrigerators, but at my current location only has 3. But I'm moving to a new one that has 4. With, I don't know how many different drinks in it, but whatever you want, it's in there. It's great.
And is a healthy lifestyle? Because you were talking about harvest and salads and things like that. I don't know.
You can have as much candy or ice cream. You know, there's a place called the sweet shop, and you can walk in there and you can get from between 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. You can get your choice of frozen yogurts or ice creams with, pastries, cookies, fresh baked. Yeah, it's pretty horrible. All the toppings you'd want.
And intellectually, are you challenged? And are there things to do and places to go and learn? And what's inclusion like? Loads of questions there.
Yeah, there are almost unlimited opportunities to learn about just about anything. There are groups that do things after work, everything from yoga to musical groups. There's a wood shop, a very advanced wood shop, where I'm personally excited. I haven't managed to make the time to do this, but I'm going to take some classes in the wood shop, and I have some things that I want to build. And so things to stimulate creativity and also to free the brain are just ubiquitous throughout the campus, whether that's billiards and ping pong or the gym where you can do Olympic lifting. That's pretty much all there.
Amazing. Just like the BBC.
Yeah, and they go around.
It's nothing like the BBC.
Yeah. And, you know, as a blind person, it's been really wonderful. I mean, when I first arrived on campus, you know, essentially whatever I needed in terms of mobility training, you know, learning my way around campus, I got a lot of help with that. I have, you know, at my desk, whatever it is that I need in order to do my work. And people are just generally very nice and accommodating. And in the cases where something isn't fully accessible, there are plenty of people who are willing to help.
Last question, and I don't know how much you can tell me about this, but any significant access alterations or innovations that are coming up on Facebook or any of its products that you might be able to tell us about?
Yes, there are some things that we've been talking about that are down the road. Some of them are sort of aspirational. So, you know, this automatic alt text and the artificial intelligence is just at its very, very beginnings of what's possible.
That's what we've been talking about already, the description of photos.
And those descriptions are going to get richer, and we're going to be able to construct those descriptions into almost, you know, meaningful sentences, like 3 people sitting around a table, 2 of them are on a bale of hay having a discussion. You know, that kind of description is in the future. But what gets me really excited are some of the possibilities, like if you are looking at that picture in the photo viewer on a phone or an iPad or something like that has a touch screen, being able to move your finger around the picture and have it tell you what's under your finger so you can get a sense of the size or the scale or the arrangement of the objects or the people that are in the picture. And another thing that's on the horizon is the ability to ask the picture questions. I've seen some pretty amazing demos of this capability, and it's, you know, it's really amazing. This is really
who's on the left.
Questions like that, or what color are the curtains, or what's hanging on the wall, or is there something hanging on the wall, or if it tells you, so let's say the automatic alt text told you it's indoors, 2 people, baby, and it just told you that. You could ask it a question like, what is the baby doing? Or what is the adult doing? Or what is the color of the furniture in the room? And it can answer questions like that. It's just amazing.
Wow.
But they're not 3 and 5 years out. They're like 1 and 2 years or something like that.
Anything else for any other people with other disabilities?
We already have some basic automated captioning capabilities. Right now,
so subtitling,
correct. And we can generate subtitles automatically, but then they have to be still human edited. That
someone has just joined us over in the corner. They're on their phone, but we can talk over them.
I think they're sweeping the floor. Certainly improving that capability in videos, have good quality captions. And we're doing a lot to try to improve keyboard accessibility in the laptop or desktop experience of Facebook. And you're going to see a lot of improvements in that over the coming year.
Do you encourage people to get in touch with you or to find you?
Yes, absolutely. So the best way, if you have any feedback about Facebook accessibility, just go to facebook.com/accessibility. And on the accessibility page, there's also a link to our feedback form, which you can go to directly at facebook.com/help/accessibility. Those are probably the best ways to provide feedback directly to the accessibility team. And, you know, we look at all of that, and we value all of it. The more feedback we get, both good and constructive, negative, the better. When we get especially positive feedback, it flies through the team. You know, everybody, you know, it gets posted in every internal accessibility related group, and, you know, people cheer because they love seeing people be pleased, and it motivates people to do good work.
Yeah.
So you would not believe how appreciated those words are when they come in.
Brilliant. Thank you, Matt. I really appreciate you talking to me.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. I enjoyed it.
And I've been Damon Rose. This is another Inside Ouch. You can email us, ouch@bbc.co.uk. Find us on Twitter. Have you heard of Twitter, Matt? at BBC Ouch. And we're on Facebook too. Fantastic. Until next week, when it's one of our hour-long shows, goodbye from me and from Matt.
Thank you.